Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Premier Chess CEO, National Master Evan Rabin, and I am here on our 148th edition of the Premier Chess podcast. And I am here with a very special guest, Fiona Mutesi, who many of you know as the Queen of Katwe, who actually was raised in Uganda in the neighborhood of Katwe, in one of Kampala's 8 slums. And she was actually featured in the Disney film, Queen of Katwe, which was about her experience and rise to success. She is a women's candidate master and definitely had quite a bit of, you know, challenges growing up. When she was 3 years old, her father passed away from AIDS. Soon after, her older sister, passed away. And at 9, she dropped out of school because her family couldn't afford to send her. And actually, very gratefully, she was found and connected to Robert Katende, who is a phenomenal chess coach and runs a lot of great programs in the area. And since the film, she's also had a lot of other great successes and got a full scholarship at Northwest University in Seattle, which is actually where she's currently in and about to graduate. She's actually coached by one of our previous podcast guests, Elliot Neff, who is the founder of Chess for Life and the main coach over at Northwest University. So great to have you on today, Fiona. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you so much, Evan, for having me. I really appreciate this moment just sharing my story. I'm here in USA, actually in Seattle. I go to Northwest University, as you said already, and I'll be graduating soon, next month in May. I'm doing business management and finance. So I'm kind of excited about that, journey. And yeah, I've been now applying for jobs to see what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be staying here for a while as I'm still figuring out my life, like what's next. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, it's my sincere pleasure having you. Obviously a lot of people, know about your story now. You've definitely been an inspiration, for others as well. So, I guess the first real question I wanted to, ask you, Fiona, a lot of people obviously do know about your story, people who have, heard my very quick introduction or seen the movie. I know I personally first saw it when it came out in 2016. Yeah. I remember with Grandmaster Suge Kudrin and my good friend Adia Unyango, who you might have heard of. She does actually a lot of great work for women's chess. I remember, I was just like truly fascinated. But could you tell us a little bit more about, your background, maybe things that, we might not know about through the movie, growing up in Uganda?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. You have said a little bit about it, about like the movie kind of explained everything about me. But yeah. I grew up with a single mother. Like you say, my dad died when I was 3 years old, so I never got a chance to really have a father figure or all of that. It was kind of hard for my life and my family's life because my mom did not go to school. So if you have not gone to school, that becomes so hard with like employment and everything. So when my father died, my mom was the only person who was supposed to provide for us as a family with my 2 brothers and my old sister. At the age of 6, because it was really hard, we had to drop out of school, all of us as a family with my siblings, to hope in terms of selling maize allowance so that we can get food and also we can get money for rent and other things just to use at home. But tuition became so hard for my mom. That's why we had dropped out of school. And we don't have free education in Uganda. So during that time, it kind of became so hard. And like, I always admired looking at the kids going to school and all of that. So I missed school for a lot while during that time. And at the age of 9 years, we are like evicted, and that became so hard. I feel like in my life, that was most of like that was my hardest time, when I was 9 years, when we were evicted. We went homeless. We became homeless, and then we started selling, like we started begging from the streets because we didn't have any food to eat. So by chance, if we could get any coin, we are lucky during that day, and then we could use that coin just to buy a snack, and then we could eat the snack, could share it as a whole family. But still, that still became so hard, because sometimes you could spend like 3 days without getting anything, you know.
Wow.
But anyway, during that time, I got to know my brother was a chess player already, and he went at the chess program, there was like a missionary who introduced like a chess program in the slums. And the missionaries, what they used to attract like these kids in the slums, they used food, because most of the kids could not afford food. So most of the kids went there just for the food. So when when we are all homeless, my brother came to me and told me about it. So I decided to follow my brother to get what to eat. And luckily, when I went to the chess program, I found their coach Loba, who was my coach during that time, and he welcomed me so well. And it gave me a young girl to teach me chess. So it was more like a condition. I had to plan chess and then have what to eat. So this became more like my thing. Like I had to come back every day because I wanted food. But in the way that I also had to learn mostly. And it didn't take so long until when I started like being interested into the game, because it started becoming fun to me. At first, like it was really hard because like it was so like, the game was dominated by boys. Mm-hmm. All of them were boys. And it becomes so hard because they're so competitive, and they almost like all of them wanted to beat me. Everyone wanted like you know, to win. And at some point I was like, oh, I want to really also beat someone. So I went to my coach, and my coach told me like a fool's checkmate, like the six move checkmate. I'm like, oh, this is so great. So he taught me how like to defend myself and all of that. And the next day when I went back, I managed to beat like one of like the champion actually at the program. And he was like the best boy in one of them. So he cried and went away because it was so offending a girl to beat you. Because women are so underestimated, or like they are seen like they are doing nothing. Right now it has come a long way, but before that it was really bad. Like see like women into like sports into games, so it was really high. So when I beat this boy, like all the guys around, they came in and they're like, oh wow, how can a girl beat you? So this guy actually cried, and he never came back in chess again. But for me, this was my point of saying, believing myself. I was like, dang, this can be actually something that I can use to get out of the street. It can be my way out of poverty. It can be my way out of being homeless or everything, you know. So I started playing chess. Since then, I started playing chess seriously, and I started competing. And not too long ago, when I started winning money, and I actually used the money to get out of the street. We bought a house. I mean, we started renting a house, and also I started using the money for food every time. So yeah, that's when like my journey of chess started, and I started presenting the country. So the story started becoming famous when people heard about like where I come from, and the fact that I represented my country to another level. The story started like gaining a lot of attention. That's why it led into a book, and also the movie Queen of Katwe, if you guys know it. That all of this starts from that story. Like that's the background I can give you.
Wow. Well, you know, really props to you for, you know, all that you've done, just, you know, living, you know, what I would say now is, you know, the American dream. You know, you yeah. came from, you know, literally, you know, practically nothing to a point where you were, you know, going into chess class because there was a free lunch afterwards,
yeah.
To the point where, truth is, right, like you got so much more than you would have ever, you know, asked for.
Yeah.
And one thing that, you know, I hear about, you know, all the time from my good friend and mentor, Steve Eisenberg, is just how every single person or, you know, experience that, you know, you encounter, you know, definitely happens for a very distinct reason. And you need to, yeah, constantly just, you know, fully, you know, see, you know, the effect that, you know, everyone, you know, could have. You know, my friend, you know, Ray Martinez is a chess coach in Texas. And, you know, he likes to say the little pawn can become the big one, right? They promote. So, So tell me, you know, a little bit more, Fiona. You kind of just started getting into it naturally, talking about the dynamics between girls and boys, you know, in chess. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a couple of great, you know, female players, you know, on the podcast. You know, Susan Polgar. We recently had Elisa Melikina, and several others, actually. But could you tell me, you know, and our listeners just a little bit more about some of the challenges you've had, you know, as a woman, you know, growing up in the game?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So when I started chess, as I told you, like I had like that struggle as a woman, or like as a young girl coming to like the boys, the game that is dominated by boys. So it became so hard for me. And to the point when I beat one of the champion, one of the big boy, and he went away, he ran away. Most of the other guys, like the most of the boys could not, didn't want like even play me, because they were like, oh, we don't want to play her. If they beat me, I'll be ashamed also, like the other person. That was one thing I said, like facing from the beginning, which was really hard for me at some point, like to prosper in terms of my competitions. But I still, I had like, I played with my brothers a lot. They were there all the time. And I went, we always went back home and we played like more games. Actually, it really helped me a lot, because normally like when we are at home, like to do like chores or like housework and all of that, to decide who's gonna cook or who's gonna wash dishes, we had to play chess. And that decided most of the time, like, oh, you know what, you lose, you're gonna cook, you lose, you're gonna do this. So that really helped me, because they were like really supportive as my brothers, and they really like good during that time. But the rest of the boys could not play me during that time. So even like at the time, like because we are also from the slums, so it became so hard also to go to normal competitions, because a lot of like chess during that time was played by only people who had money. Like if you had no money, you could not afford even a chess board, and these are people who are from the slums, so there was no way of like connecting in that level. And so the game itself has come far to that extent right now. Like when I say like right now, like chess is now available to anyone, like because there are a lot of people who have been going there to teach other people, like to be able to just contribute towards like that cause. But anyway, when I started like playing into the tournament, I started like beating some of the boys, and I'm telling you, like even right now, that my friends who I talk to, and they're like, oh, I can't believe you beat me. But it started becoming so competitive to the extent that they grouped up themselves always to be talking about me, to strategize how are they gonna beat me. And sometimes like they could bet on themselves, like if you beat her, like you're gonna get this money, you're gonna get this, like how like they always like strengthen themselves in that way so that they could beat me to take me out of the game, like to take me out of there. But I was always really strong, and I'm so thankful to also like my teammates also started like helping, because they kind of started knowing like we come from the same place or same area. So they started like also preparing me, because they wanted me to defeat the other boys. So I started like winning, and then at some point I know chess, we had only boys category and the girls category. And because I'd won a lot of tournaments in girls, my coach decided to put me into the open category, but like he went and talked to the federation about it, the Ugandan federation about it, but they could not, like they refused it. They did not want anyone to participate into the boys category. They didn't want it to be open until he really convinced them enough, until at some point they opened it up to me. And then I joined, and actually when I joined, I managed to be the junior champion of Uganda for both boys and girls. And that was one of the biggest points. And like, it's not like from then, like you're gonna start having like open tournaments and ladies tournaments, which is really good right now because you have that choice of playing anywhere. And kind of, for me, it really helped me because it gave me a lot of training because I was able to compete with boys and other people like more than me, like in terms of strength. So it helped me a lot. I very much like I was challenged most of the time, I was beaten, but it helped me in terms of my competition. I became more stronger. And that's why I become more stronger every time in my story, if you look at it, because of they were like challenging me all the time too. Like they don't want to play me and all of that, or they want to beat me. And that made me to be like more strong. I'm like, oh, I'm going to beat them. So I have to train so hard. So I train more harder than even the usual one every time. But yeah, right now I can say chess has come so far, honestly. And I've seen like, after my story coming up and all of that, there are a lot of people who are like, I've started chess, chess like organizations, or chess clubs. And they're teaching only girls, and like even in schools, there are a lot of like chess, like people have gone even in schools to start like chess clubs, even in schools. But the girls are now taking part compared to what used to be before.
Yeah, and I think you know, a lot of it really is just being, you know, confident and being able to like not kind of take stereotypes. And really just, you know, constantly, you know, have a drive to, you know, succeed, you know, is very important. So, speaking of which, you know, obviously, you know, you're very familiar with the, recent Queen's Gambit series, was recently on Netflix, which truly has just been phenomenal for chess. Dylan McLean actually quoted me in the New York Times, along with our previous podcast guest, Max DeLugy, about how chess has, you know, basically skyrocketed, you know, since the series came out. You know, my good friend, Shelby Lorman of American Chess Equipment, who's also been on the podcast, has been talking, you know, quite a bit about how chess sets are, you know, through the roof. What are your thoughts about the film series?
About the Queen's Gambit?
Correct.
I love the movie. I loved it, all of it, like everything from the beginning. And I just felt like we have similar, like the movie kind of has like similar things with me. I just look at the girl where she starts from as an orphanage, and she tries to learn chess, but from McLean and all of that. And I just feel like it's kind of similar to my story a little bit, because I learned chess from like my coach, who's Coach Robert, and he's like, he's not a professional coach, honestly. He doesn't know so much about chess, but the little bit he knew, he wanted to also teach it to another person, which is kind of the same with the person who was like cleaning. And later I have to go like ahead also to practice it. But like you see this, like often like the girl starts like really, you know, she becomes strong at some point, she becomes so, and she's an introvert, all of that like added on her because she had time to practice on herself. She knew who she was from the beginning. She knew she was an orphan and she has not got anyone. So chess was the only thing she's gonna use in her life to prosper. So I just love the movie that portrays that part of her, and then she starts away, and then she plays in different competitions, but she's playing in open categories, and she's not afraid to play anyone. Just from the beginning up to the movie where it is, you can see her strength. She became better and better and better every time. So just watching the movie itself, like I was like, dang, this is a really good movie. And it really opened up like I feel like a lot of people really watched it, even people who don't play chess, honestly. And it was really weird because I started like receiving phone calls from like friends, long time ago friends, like, I do know Queen's Gambit. I'm like, yes, that's really a good show. Like I really liked it. And I honestly recommend it to everyone. I feel like it really also talked about the strengths of the woman into the chess world, like the way we put down. Even up to now, I know like I know right now it's like even here in like European country, even like in this like advanced country, the first world countries, it's still like you know, chess has been welcomed and everything, but still you can see that this a part of being a woman, you know, in the chess world. It's still like something like you we have to really conquer every day. You can still like see some challenges and struggles because people are like, oh, she's, because you can see it in the Gambit, they're like, she's just a woman, she's like alcoholic and everything. But she comes to prove her point, like I may be a woman and maybe this, but
Jumped ahead a little bit and answered like my next question, actually, which is great.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all. This is why we kind of just go with the flow and have a good conversation. But no, it was actually great. You were.
I get excited about the question. So.
No. And Elizabeth Harmon is a fictional, amazing, you know, person that we all, you know live by. But you sort of naturally was getting into my next question, actually, which is, how do you see yourself, you know, relating to, you know, Harmon? I think, having seen both films, actually, you know, obviously you're a real life person here on the podcast, you know, she's, fictional. I could actually see, you know, a lot of different, correlations. You lost your father very, very early on. She was an orphan and just kind of naturally, through Mr. Stiebel, at the orphanage, learned chess and, she quickly, rose to fame, and there was, a film about her. And of course, yes, it was fictional. And by the way, I'm not even a chess historian myself. So like when I first saw the film, like an episode in, I actually like looked to see if she was real. I wasn't even sure at first. How do you see yourself, similar and how do you see yourself, very different, from Harmon's story?
How am I seeing myself different from this story?
How do you see your story similar to that of Elizabeth Harmon, and how do you see it different? So it's kind of a two-part question.
I see it similar in the way of both family-wise, kind of. I grew up with a family personally, but like she grabs as an orphan, but still like I grew up as with a family that cannot really support me like financially, but they were able to be there emotion wise. So the part for me as growing up as a person, I know financially unable to support yourself, that's the hardest part in life, because I feel like most of the time I wish sometime if I had more support in terms of funds, like I would be more further in terms of my career, in terms of my chess career, you know? But because of that, it becomes so hard with your career. Like I've seen a lot of kids who have like the talents and they can really take it another level, but still without like financial assistance, they cannot. So with the Queen Gambit also, it shows that way, like from the beginning for her, she shows like, oh, she's interested. She can do it. She can do all of that, but she needs all of the supports to go there. But anyway, for her, she finds like support in a different way, because she becomes like really good, which I also do, because the moment I also showed like, oh, this is what I can do on my board, I started like seeing some support from my coach. My coach like was seeking for support from even here to USA, and different people were able like to really fund my trips. To go to different countries. Like sometime I was representing the country, but the country itself like could not like really fund our trips, or they could not pay for tickets. So we had like different people would come in, like friends could come in just to pay for those. So I sometimes also I saw that and I'm like, wow, that's actually challenging, because you see it from, and she even the last tournament she's playing, you can see that she was having like a problem with her financial whatever, but the moment like from the beginning she figured it out, like she started like praying well, like people are coming in to support, you know. And also one other thing, I just saw like her strengths and perseverance of not giving up. Like, yes, in the game, like itself, like she had also issues as a person, like in her whatever, what is it called? Acting like she, like the girl has alcoholic problems and all of that, but still she could not give up. Like she's continued going ahead and being perseverance, and like she did not give up at all. So which kind of like my story, like I remember, like I faced all the obstacles I had in my life, like with not having school, sometimes we didn't have food, sometimes we didn't have all of that, but still I had to go on because I knew just was the only way for me. It was more like survival. Survival. And I feel like also the same with her. Her story is kind of, it's her passion, but you can look at it in the way that that's her survival. If she cannot play chess, that's her life at that point. Like if she cannot play chess, there's no way you can see her life, because at some point she did not even go to school anymore. She left school, so she had only chess. Me personally, I had school routes, so that's why like I had to make like the chess has those, like you have priorities. So for me, I had to prioritize at some point, like I wanted my school to go ahead. So right now, that's why I've been focusing on school, and I left chess for some time to first finish my school and get, and see what life, where life takes me. But like, I feel like for some time, because it's the only game I had, I knew it was the only way that can, it's gonna give me a house, it's gonna give me food, and it's gonna be even for my education and my brother's education and everyone in my family. So I thought it became more of a survival that I had to play it. Like even the tournaments I went to, I had to win them, like in any way. Like I played with my strength. Sometimes I could not even sleep at night because I wanted to win. Like I had like to practice so hard so that I had to win. So those are things I feel like they're really common, like it, like within like the both like stories. And that's why I love the story so much. What things I see like they are not really common in my movie. I mean, like I feel like a lot of people have been calling, some people have been asking me like, oh wow, is it easy to become that champion like so easily? No, that's not like really the, I think like, because it's a movie shows that, but it's not like the same thing, you know? We work so hard for that. Like, even like where I went for just becoming a candidate master, I worked so hard for that. And it's just like, it requires more than just one year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and all of that. You're gonna put in like a lot like international tournaments, your practice, sometimes like your education may be like, I don't know, if you have education, sometimes you may put it aside. I've seen some people like just been chess players for the rest of their lives, and you can see the gain from it. So it's like the journey is too long. That's why most of the time the people who become grandmas are really old, because they really invest in it a lot. There's a lot of design, like, because you need also to read books. There's a lot of theory you have to do. So if you really have like school and all of that, that may not be like right now the right timing for you. But yeah, there's always priorities. But like the movie itself shows that part, like, oh, she becomes the world champion as a woman. And I really appreciate that it showed that she's a woman and deciding to take over the world that is dominated by men. And I really like that point, because there's not anything that has been showing that. We see people we know right now that have been like dominating in chess, like as women, like Susan Polgar. And those are like the biggest women that have been there for a long time. And we really, I don't know, for me personally, those are one of the people I look after. Like, I'm like, wow, those are like one of my heroes, because they have been making it up to this point. And there are a lot of women who have been like coming up right now. But like, yes, that's, I think, where the difference is. That, and also, like, I don't know if I remember it.
Yeah, and I think you're, like, yeah, raising a lot of critical, you know, points there. You know, Elizabeth Harmon and you, you know, of course, you know, kind of, mm-hmm. again, to just not take, like, the stereotypes, right? A lot of... you know, people are sort of set in, you know, where they currently are, and, you know, don't see that there is a lot of potential, not just to even live like, you know, a decent life, but, you know, I see you, and I want to actually momentarily talk about what you're, you know, currently doing, and how you're going to take things to, you know, really the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, you know, exceeding expectations. You know, I do have to say that the two of you definitely remind me of another podcast guest that we've had, Bill Wilson, who's actually the founder of an amazing organization, Metro World Child. I don't know if you're familiar. His executive assistant, actually, Glisson, is a very good friend of mine. But Pastor Bill, 50 years ago, was picked up on a street corner in Florida, where he was left for 3 days by his mother. And now, actually, he was picked up by a Christian man who sent him to a camp, you know, where they fed him and took care of him. And now 50 years later, he's actually literally supporting 200,000 kids around the world, wow, including in Uganda, by the way.
Wow.
And they actually have a big presence nearby in Kenya as well. Yeah, I just thought that, you know, like people like the three of you are truly, you know, inspirational, you know, in that regard. So speaking of which, what people probably don't know nearly much about is what you've been doing, you know, since the movie. You've, you know, been studying, and playing, you know, in some collegiate chess, you know, in the States, and also starting to do some speaking engagements, you know, sort of like this, both, you know, virtually and in person. I taught the great, you know, class you did with actually our previous podcast guest, Jen Shahadi, a couple of weeks ago, part of, you know, the great U.S. Women's Chess Initiative. But yeah, what do you, you know, currently have going on?
So yeah, since the movie, I've been still playing chess. I've played chess. I've been still representing my country. I've represented my country like 5 times in Olympiad. Yeah, it has been really great until when I came here for school. When I came here school, I still represented my country for in 2000. It was 2018, and it became, I don't know, during that time as I represented my country, because I saw like I was missing school, and like USA school is very different. You cannot miss, and like, because there's a lot of homework and everything, you cannot miss, and then you just catch up and you're done. So before even I went to school, one thing that happened, I talked to the president of the school, and always he helped me. I mean, for the competition, I always like, he helped me like prepare in time with my other professors. But some professors, sometimes it's so hard for them because they have like assignments already that they are put like already. Like I could try to do them in time, but some of them, like you cannot just do them in time. They are special at that time. And then when you're at tournament, it's really hard to do all of that because you have to really focus on your tournaments. So sometimes that was really hard because I came back normal at school and I had to drop out of some, I had to withdraw from some of classes because I've missed a lot. And even if I catch up, I'm gonna like really fail. So I really hated that. So, but when I came here, so at the school gave me a scholarship and, but they did not have, Northwest University did not have a chess team. So when I came here, I started a chess team, a chess club, and I was teaching, we were teaching me and Benjamin. Yeah, until the time I was like, yeah, when it started becoming so hard for me at some point it became so hard for me to manage or like to manage with school and the, you know, and chess. So I had to leave chess in 2018, at the end of 2018, actually. Since then I haven't played, but I had played before for the school and we went competed in amateur tournaments. And we won actually one of it as the school was so happy to celebrate it. But that was like my last time to really compete. I haven't competed since then. But I'm thinking about as I'm graduating, I'm thinking about continuing and I've been like studying all again, yes. One of the things I've been studying, the Queen's Gambit, because I was really inspired by the series. So I've been like really studying that. But also one of the things that I can talk about, like, a few weeks ago, I started a non-profit organization. It's called Fiona Mutes Organization. And we are like, we basically want to help is based in Uganda, and right now I'm not yet in Uganda, but I'm still like here. But basically, we are helping kids who are like non-privileged in terms of their education, like their basic needs, like books, textbooks, pens, pencils, and beds, mattresses, and like just basic stuff right now. But we basically think about our goal is to more like help them like be able to be independent. So we also thinking about, we one of the things we're also thinking about doing is more like helping them or teaching them like entrepreneurship skills, like doing hair, doing makeup as a business, because I know some of the people can go there and like teach them. So we are dealing with like really people who are like in poverty. And if you can go and follow me on my pages, you'll see all of that. I've been posting it. We started it like a few weeks ago, and I put the word there, and a lot of people actually contributed towards it. And we launched it on 28th, which was on my birthday. And we managed to go like to 3 schools whereby we contributed towards like their, like we gave out like beds, mattresses, pots, because most of those schools did not have pots. We gave out books, we gave out pens, and like women like sanitary pads. We give out a lot of stuff, but yeah, I'm really excited to be starting this because this is always one thing I wanted to do. Having like grown up in that situation whereby I saw myself like me personally, I got an opportunity in terms of my kids, but there are a lot of kids who never get this opportunity, but they still like want to go to school, or some of them got like scholarships, but they cannot afford like textbooks, or they cannot even afford like uniforms. Some we have uniforms to buy, or like all of those small things. So my organization is based on that, like how to help them in terms of their needs, the one we can afford, and also helping them with like entrepreneurship skills. And also basically those who are going through like trauma, like sometimes like they have family issues at home, their parents are fighting. How are we able to help them mentally, prepare them for life, you know? And also we are looking at like people who are having talents and measure them and mentor them. So that's what basically I'm doing right now. And I'm really excited for it. So far it's going well. Yeah, but that's what I'm doing, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, well, props to you. You know, a lot of you know, people don't even, you know, exactly realize that you know, you gotta not rest on your laurels, right? You need to, you know, constantly you know, grow and develop, and you know, clearly you're definitely doing that, you know, quite a bit now, and I really do look forward to, like seeing your success as you, you know, continue to grow and stay here. So, so speaking of which, I know you're, about to actually graduate university next month, actually, with a degree in, you said, economics and finance.
Oh, no, I'm doing business management and finance.
Business management and finance. So, what are your plans after college? Do you plan on, you know, sticking around Seattle, going back to Uganda, or what are your plans after college? Sure, this is a question. So what are your plans after college? When you graduate in a couple of weeks.
Yes, so I've been already applying for different jobs. I've got like different offers already, like a few offers on the table. And I'm just
excited. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I'm excited about it. I'll be telling the people soon where I'm gonna
be. Are those jobs mostly in Seattle or in the States, or where most of those jobs located?
I just put my word there. I was like sharing my resume with different people, so different people are connecting me to different people. So I have to move to New York, so it's an offer I was given, but I haven't really, and another one is already here, like two of them are here in Washington, in Seattle. So I haven't really decided which ones. I'm still like talking to different people who are like helping me like in terms of guidance, because like when I got like these offers, I get so excited because I've never worked here. So I'm having like people to help me, guide me in terms of one, like the right choice, because I don't want to get lost in terms of my excitement and then I make a mistake. So I've been like having like all people who have been going through this to help me. But yeah, I'm thinking about like, because of that, I've already thinking about to stay here for like some years. Because I realized like when I go home, I wanted to go home really home a lot. But when I realized going home, I saw like, okay, there's a need. And I feel like if I'm based here, I can really help more in terms of connecting with different people to help with the organization to see if like it can really be helped in terms of financially, funds and all of that. So like here, being here, I felt like it would be like the really, it would be the good strategy to stay here. So that's why I started looking for jobs here. And yeah, I'm just excited. And I'm thinking about like going to school after some time, but not this year. I feel like I'm going to take a, I want to take a space for 1 year and then I'll go to school later again to do my master's. But I'm telling you, I'm just excited and I'm overwhelmed. I don't mind anywhere I can be. I'm going to be like, as long as it's in USA, I'll be really fine with it, any place I can be in. Yeah, I just want to be here and just work with people. And I'm just, I can't wait for my new journey, honestly. But I'll be telling people what I'm going to decide, like which company I'm going to work with and the job. As for the meantime, I'll be also working with my organization, see what I can do, like how many connections I can get to help them. I feel like I can help more. I can help more when I'm here than when I'm at home, because I have already team home that is really helping. So doing this, it really helps a lot. Yeah, that's something I'm really thinking about. With my chest also, I'm still trying with my chest. So that's why I'm trying to get guidance from people, because I want to get into a camp and that will be able to allow me like in terms of continue playing with my chest. Like, you know, if I have competitions or camp, like that kind of thing, like, am I able to go and like represent, you know what I'm saying? Like continue with my career, and also at the same time, I want to play chess and also help with my organization. So yeah, so that's why I'm taking a little time like to really think about it and like to make really good decision about whom I'm going to work with and where am I going to go next.
That makes total sense. And I really do look forward to, you know, seeing your progress. You know, if you do end up living in New York, you know, maybe we'll, you know, end up seeing each other from time to time. And, you know, by the way, I am a very big, you know, connector as well. So, you know, if I could be actually assistance in any way, you know, definitely, you know, please let me know, you know, in the job search, you know, any companies you're, you know, applying to and, you know, need connections there. Chances are, you know, I may know someone, so definitely keep that in mind. You know, Fiona, I really want to thank you so much for, you know, taking some time to, you know, talk today about your background, you know, growing up in Uganda, some of the dynamics between girls and boys in chess. Compare and contrast of you and Elizabeth Harmon, a little bit more about your life in the U.S. Over the last you know, few years, and of course talking about, you know, what's next, you know, your plans, you know, after your upcoming graduation. Is there anything else you'd like to share about any of the projects you might be working on, and you know, just about yourself?
No, right now the biggest project I'm working on is my organization. So if anyone wants to join us in any way, in any support you want to contribute, I would really appreciate that. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And really, you know, props to you for, you know, giving back, you know, and, you know, yeah, like the Mutesi Fiona Foundation is, yeah, absolutely doing, you know, tremendous work. And yeah, chess obviously was, you know, a big vehicle for you. And, you know, the fact that you're, you know, already giving back, you know, through it is amazing. So, yeah, the last thing I wanted to, you know, quickly mention to you, you know, before we start to wrap up is, One thing, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I actually, for the third time this summer, am bringing a team of high school and college students and adults to teach in Moshi Tanzania with my good friend Teresa Grant, Make a Difference Now. I have not been to Uganda yet, although actually one of our instructors, who you may know, Luis Cuerdo, who comes every year, he actually met Robert Katende and actually you know, visited some programs in Uganda as well. But yeah, it truly is you know, also an amazing you know, experience every year. And by the way, I mean, last year when we were down there, you know, Luis in particular was, you know, talking about your story quite a bit, you know, as a motivation. You know, you're obviously, you know, a different country, but, you know, we're in a similar background actually to, you know, a lot of them. And yeah, we've definitely, you know, have used you, you know, as a role model. And actually, who knows, I would love to have you even potentially join us, you know, if not this summer, another summer, you know, down there. So yeah, we are actually set to go to Moshi July 11th to 18th, 2021. We do actually have Luis, who's going to be with us this year, more than likely Jason Bowie, who was with us last year, you know, will be there. He's also the founder of the Philadelphia Chess Society, and a couple others, and really should be, a really exciting experience. Unfortunately, last year we had to, you know, cancel because of the pandemic, but God willing, we are going to be there actually, you know, this July, so 11th to 18th, and we really do, you know, support that, and yeah, I want to thank you actually for being, you know, a role model. That we've used you know, during that trip the last 2 years.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But also your work you're doing is really impressive, honestly. And it's really, I don't know, I haven't really looked into it, but I want to really, like, by the time when you contacted me, I was like, oh, I really have to look at everything, but I didn't know. Look, I was just looking at your content and all you posted, and I'm like, wow, I'm really impressed.
Well, thank you so much. And truly, Fiona, it really is a community effort, right? You know, the work that, you know, you're doing, Teresa, you know, Grant is doing, Make a Difference, and, you know, Elliot Neff is like working with like thousands of kids in the Seattle area. You know, helping support, you know, abroad, you know, there's 6 billion people on this planet, you know, they also learn chess, right? And the business and life lessons that it brings. So, yeah, thank you so much, you know, Fiona, for, you know, all that you're doing, and really wish you, you know, much success, and look forward to, you know, being in touch as well. So yeah, the last, you know, real question I usually ask, if anyone does want to learn a little bit more about the Fiona Mutesi Foundation, or ways that, you know, they might be able to, you know, support or partner, is that where people could reach you?
Yes, so I have, we have a foundation page, Facebook page, it's called Fiona Mutesi, so you will see it, and we're going to be also posting, we have just finished our website, so I'm going to be posting a link in our web page. Yes, right now that's the way you can reach me out, but also you can reach me out through my email, my social media platform. We are just starting, so I can't say that we really started already. We just started like 3 weeks ago, and we're still like building it, honestly. But yeah, if you can follow me on my social media, I'll be letting you know everything. But so far we have like a page, a Facebook page that is already there, and like I'm gonna be like posting the link to our website, and it's going to be coming up soon because the website has been being built. So it's going to be already done. So that's coming up. So I'm just asking you guys to follow me on my Facebook profile on like on Mutesi Fiona Foundation. There's a Mutesi Fiona Foundation Facebook page, and me as a person, I have my profile, it's just Fiona Mutesi, my profile page. So yeah. I really appreciate this time, Evans. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for letting me share my story to the world. Thank you so much. And also whatever you're doing also, it's really inspiring to many people, honestly. And I really appreciate being part of this.
Wow. Well, thank you. I'm glad the feeling is definitely mutual. You know, I look forward to, again, you know, seeing your progress and working together to, you know, make a difference. So, yeah, thank you so much, Fiona, and look forward to speaking to you soon and hearing about what's next after graduation. Congrats again. Very upcoming graduation. It'll be here before you know it. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much too.